You know, when you think about this marriage supper, and I want to connect what we had previously in the first six verses with this, because we see that the marriage supper, this marriage is a glorious supper. Everything is where it ought to be. But the marriage supper also will focus. Oh, let's stop for a minute. In our weddings today, who do we focus on? The bride, rightly so, right? I've been in two weddings. I've been in more than two weddings. I've done a lot of weddings, but I've had two weddings of my own. And I've had two brides. And it's been an amazing thing. I often say I believe in the second blessing because I've been married twice. But you know, when you think about it, everybody's in anticipation. The bride, I did a wedding not too long ago, and the groom, he was standing there with me, and I looked down at his knees, and he was a basketball player of mine, and I looked down at his knees, and he's just shaking, you know? He's like this. His knees are like this, and I said, "You all right?" He said, yeah, I'm okay. I said, "Just take it easy. All right. Take a deep breath." Relax a little. You know, he was nervous, and then all of a sudden, the doors opened. There she was, dressed in that garment. And he went, that's what he did. He went, and everybody stood up. Music starts. She walks down. And all eyes are on the bride. But you know what, beloved? In this day, the bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. You see, our focus, it's going to be on him. Our focus in that day is going to be on him. And because our focus in that day is going to be on him, and we're going to see him, and we're going to go, and we're going to be in awe. Oh, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And presently he's sanctifying her. He's cleansing her by the washing of the word, setting her apart presently and in a future day that he might present her to himself. That's spotless, without a wrinkle. You know what's interesting? That's exactly what Scripture says of him. Did you catch that? That's exactly what Scripture says of him. That he was without spot and without wrinkle. And he is conforming us now to be like him. And when we see him, we will see him as he is. And we will be like him. Isn't it an amazing thing? We will be fit for him. Oh, there was no mate found, no helper found for Adam. But oh, God had it in his heart to have one for his son. And so it was his desire in eternity past. So he made it possible through the death of his son, the work for her. And then the work in her. Now he's cultivating that work and in us as those that make up the bride. So the focus is not on us in that day. The focus is going to be on the bridegroom. And here he's called the marriage of the Lamb. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Here's the next point. It's going to be a glorious marriage supper. It's going to be a time, a marriage time, when the focus will not be on the bride, but on the bridegroom. But thirdly, it's going to be a marriage supper where the bride, the Lamb's wife, has made herself ready. Now, think of this. I'm struck by this. You see, in Revelation 19, 20, 21, 22, there's several places where the bride is called the bride, and she's called the groom, and she's called the Lamb, or the wife. The wife and the bride. And when it's connected to the administration And what's going to happen during the millennial reign, the church is seen as the Lamb's wife. But when it's in connection to eternity, forever and ever and ever, get this, the church is seen as the bride. I remember being at an anniversary of a brother that was married for 60 some years. And he got up and he said, you know, after the celebration, he says, "This is my wife." Let me ask you a question. Why do we say, when we first get married, "This is my bride"? And after we've been married a long time, we say, "This is my wife." Doesn't that seem wrong? You know, the wife is administration. The bride is affection. And in eternity, we're seen not so much as his wife, which we indeed are, but we're seen as his bride. Fresh affections for all eternity. This brother that I mentioned at his anniversary, he said, "This is my wife." Isn't she a beautiful bride after 60 years? So take note, guys, right? Your wives are elbowing you right now. Fresh affection. Fresh affection. You know, here she's seen as the Lamb's wife has made herself ready. How did she do that? Isn't that what we've been talking about in the churches as we've been looking at it? She's made herself ready. You see, what this is telling us is that the judgment seat of Christ has already taken place. It has to have already happened. So the judgment seat, the bema seat, not the great white throne, because the believer won't appear at the great white throne. We're talking about the judgment seat, 2 Corinthians 5, Romans 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, which I had time to develop it, but we'll leave it at that. But the judgment seat where we will give an account for what we've done in the body, whether it was to the glory of God or whether it was for the glory of Tim. If it was for the glory of Tim, it's going to burn up. As it passes through the refining fire, it will burn up. And God will, the Lord Jesus will judge whether or not what we've done in this scene for his glory and honor. It'll be, if it is for myself, it'll be wood, hay, and stubble. If it was done for the glory of Christ, if it was done for the glory of God, then it will be like gold, silver, and precious stones. And so the bride has made herself ready. And then Scripture speaks about the rewards that are given, right? Scripture speaks about five rewards, five crowns they're called. And then Scripture says, and I remember having a little Bible study on this, and we were talking about the crowns, and one of the sisters said, "Wow, that's going to be really something." I said, "What's that?" "Wearing those crowns in heaven." And he said, "No, you don't get to keep them." She said, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "You're going to take those crowns, Revelation 4:11. You're going to take those crowns and you're going to throw them down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Because you're going to say, 'Thou art worthy.'" You see, can you imagine walking in heaven wearing crowns? There's no room for pride. There's going to be no room for the flesh of Tim. Oh, and it's there. But there's not going to be any room.